The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, a Thursday edition. We've got a fine guest at 4:30, Dom. He's our very direct buddy, Biden supportive Matt Flynn.
Oh, he was very Biden supportive.
Told me to shut up, Donald Campoli, last week. Maybe not me, but everyone that was asking his candidate to step down, he was not.
And that was you too. You were included.
I was
okay.
Broadly told to shut the hell up. So I'll bring him back and see how smug he's feeling today.
Yeah.
Matt Flynn at 4:30, looking forward to that. And Dominic Biden gave a speech to the nation last night from the Oval Office. And you and I had quite differing takeaways from that speech. I found it wanting, left me wanting, and there's a damn good reason I called for a new candidate at the top of the ticket. That opinion did not change seeing the speech last night. I'm still very, very glad where the Democratic Party finds itself now supporting Kamala Harris. I watched the speech. You listened to the speech.
Right.
And I can tell you there was something I observed, and that was Joe Biden's robotic hands that he didn't seem to know what to do with.
Not very natural, which of course I couldn't see. I listened to it in the car. And he sounded like Joe Biden, but I wasn't distracted by the physical mannerisms.
Well, he was sitting, and I'm sitting at this moment. You're standing, but I'm sitting, and I'm still gesticulating. But there's more to it. Perhaps I look just as troubling when I gesticulate as such, but I don't perceive it in myself. I did perceive it in Biden. But let's talk about the other grumpy old man that did an interview on the Foxy News this morning. Trump invited over. Now, I mentioned to you, Dom, that Kamala Harris was interrupted today mid-speech. Fox was taking her speech to the American Federation of Teachers, and Kamala was pointing out the contrast between her candidacy and that of Trump's, and, you know, broadly, the two parties. And she said, you know, they try to protect kids by banning books. And I would prefer if we tried banning assault weapons in the schools. And that's about the time Fox News thought, well, they're not talking about anything important.
Right, that's not serious. That's not a real issue.
And turned off Kamala Harris's speech. But earlier in the morning, Tom, the Foxy News had made plenty of time for their favored candidate. They made time for Donald Trump. And the Harris campaign responded. And I like their response. So I wanted to share it with you in the audience. Vice President Harris's campaign hit at former President Trump's interview on the Foxy News on Thursday, questioning his age and mental stamina.
Oh, ouch.
The campaign released a statement on the 78-year-old criminal's Fox News appearance, knocking Trump for his age in an effort to turn the tables after Biden, 81, dropped his bid over questions about if he was fit to serve another 4 years in office. Here's the quote from the Harris campaign. After watching Foxy News, they called it Fox News, Foxy News this morning, we only have one question. Is Donald Trump okay?
No.
The campaign said, adding that a takeaway that Americans must have from this interview is that Trump is old and quite weird, and that this guy shouldn't be president ever again. Now, Trump appearing on Fox Thursday morning called Biden's speech from the Oval Office the night before terrible and described the president's exit from the race as a coup. And that's a guy who knows something about coups, Dom.
Indeed it is.
I think it was a coup. They didn't want him running. He was way down in the polls and they thought he was going to lose. They went to him and they said, you can't win the race, which I think is true unless I did something very foolish, which I wasn't going to do. No, Trump's never done anything very foolish.
No, always, always reserved and in line.
And I think he was so far down and they said, you're not going to win and you're not in great shape and you did poorly in the debate. I think the debate started everything. Now, Trump also, I don't see which part of that is the coup, though. They approached him, they reasoned with him, and he came to a conclusion. It's a coup!
Well, that's because it's projection. He knows that he was involved in a coup attempt along with many others in a conspiracy that the American people have yet to have litigated before them before they make this decision. But I digress. That's what they do. Of course he's bringing up coup because that's what he engaged in.
I don't think he knows what that word means. Well, I think he knows what he tried to do. Trump also said there was should be a one-year jail sentence for anyone who desecrates the American flag. I've seen you hump the American flag on stage, sir. I would say that is a crime against the American flag and the American way of life. In wake of the anti-Israel protest over the war in Gaza in D.C. yesterday, again, from
now, let's just stop for a second. Now, I'm not a big fan of the flag burning, but it is an expression, a First Amendment rights expression that's been litigated and talked about before. It may be offensive to some, but they have the right to do that. And Donald Trump, I mean, this guy who desecrates the flag in his own way, certainly desecrates the spirit of what this country is supposed to be. So, yeah, the 1 year jail sentence, dude, really? Really?
Trump desecrates a flag the same way Vance allegedly desecrates a couch.
The couch.
We'll clarify whether or not that allegation is true, perhaps in the next segment. Here is, again, from the Harris campaign. They rolled out their launch video today, and it was great. Go find it. We'll share it on our Facebook page. But the Harris launch video effectively filmed in West Dallas, and the message, an erratic Donald Trump offers only chaos, fear, and hate. The dangerous threats of an old man don't create jobs, protect our rights, or keep us safe. Vice President Kamala Harris offers something different. Freedom, lower cost, and opportunity for all. And a very similar theme in the campaign ad, backed with Beyonce. With Beyonce's permission, unlike when Trump's playing Tiny Dancer from Elton John and the Rolling Stones, and he's been doing it since 2016.
Can't always get what you want, Crudy.
Over the cease and desist letters of the artist of record in those respective licensing cases. 844-967-2789. Like to know what your impression of Joe Biden's speech was last night. I told you, it left me thirsting for leadership. Now, I hope that Kamala Harris offers that leadership to the party.
He's leading by getting out of the race so another candidate can rise up and defeat Donald Trump. Sounds kind of familiar, right?
It does.
It takes. I know you think, you now have this newfound admiration for the selfless act that the president engaged in by passing the torch. But that in and of itself, and his speech here, I think is an example of that leadership you think is so very lacking. Rich, we have a few minutes here. Let's play some of this music. Some of the Joe Biden from yesterday, if you would, please. Let's start with cut number
one. I'd rather hear some more old rock and roll music, but please,
we'll do what you got to do, boys.
Yeah. My fellow Americans, I'm speaking to you tonight from behind the Resolute desk in the Oval Office. In this sacred space, I'm surrounded by portraits of extraordinary American presidents.
And Trump.
No, I don't think Trump has a portrait in there. Let's hear more of the president from last night, cut two.
It's been the honor of my life to serve as your president. But in the defense of democracy, which is at stake, I think it's more important than any title.
Amen, brother. Let's keep going. The next generation, cut three.
So I've decided the best way forward is to pass the torch to a new generation. That's the best way to unite our nation. You know, there is a time and a place for long years of experience in public life. There's also a time and a place for new voices.
I mean, yeah, I think so. Let's hear some more. Cut number four, We the People.
I draw strength and I find joy in working for the American people. But this sacred task of perfecting our union, it's not about me. It's about you, your families, your futures. It's about we the people.
Now, I watched this speech on my phone with my 17-year-old waiting to go to dinner. He's being patient. I said, we're not going until Joe's speech is done, but I suspect it'll be a brief speech. And at that moment, Dom, that it sounded like he gulped. The question was asked in the Crudy household, did somebody fart? It was a strange sound emanating mid-speech. And I later realized there were other people in the room, theoretically, that could have been the case, and not had it been Joe Biden, because there were others lining the wall. Hunter was in the room. There were apparently several observing the president while he gave this speech. But that deep whatever it was made an odd sound. Kind of squeaked like a leather couch when J.D. Vance is going to town on it.
The president from last night, let's play cut number five.
America's going to have to choose between moving forward or backward, between hope and hate, between unity and division.
And let's hear the president on character, cut six.
In this moment, we can see those we disagree with not as enemies, but as fellow Americans. Can we do that? Does character and public life still matter? I believe I know the answer to these questions.
He said he's very grateful, but let's skip down to cut number eight regarding VP Harris.
I'd like to thank our great Vice President Kamala Harris. She's experienced. She's tough. She's capable. She's been an incredible partner to me and a leader for our country.
And we're running out of time. Let's do 9 and 10 back to back, please, Rich.
My fellow Americans, it's been the privilege of my life to serve this nation for over 50 years. Over the next 6 months, I'll be focused on doing my job as president. That means I'll continue to lower costs for hardworking families, grow our economy. I'll keep defending our personal freedoms and our civil rights, from the right to vote to the right to choose.
President Joe Biden from yesterday, admirable, I would say.
I less impressed with the speech, but I didn't know if there was a rationale or reason for the speech. What did I learn? Joe doesn't know what to do with his hands. Come back. More devil's advocates. More gesticulation.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The devil's advocates.
And we're back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. Talk or text. Hit us up. 844-967-2789.
Headline, Dom. AP declares that, and inquiring minds want to know, J.D. Vance did not have sex with a couch in a fact check. So first they put out a fact check headline. J.D. Vance did not have sex with a couch. And then they withdrew it, leaving one to question, did J.D. Vance have sex with the couch? Now, some have alleged he self-confessed that it was in Hillbilly Elegy. And I don't personally have a copy of the book, so I am unable to verify. But on pages 179 through 181, I saw it claimed on the Twitter, J.D. Vance claimed in the book that he had apparently used a glove, stuck it between the couch cushions, and did what comes natural for a vice presidential candidate on the MAGA side. That is the allegation, Dom. Now, some on Twitter are taking note of the story. Here's one. The J.D. Vance couch story is never going to go away. No matter how many fact checks, it will only grow. Mostly because he seems like he would have sex with the couch.
Can you prove that he didn't have sex with the couch?
So here is how it's being.
JD Vance, when did you stop having sex with a coach? Is that the question?
The Associated Press declares that JD Vance did not have sex with a coach in a fact check. Then someone at the wire service cleared up a rumor about Donald Trump's running mate, though the AP says the piece shouldn't even have been published. Well, people need to know, did he or didn't he? A mysterious Associated Press story tried to set the record straight about social media rumors that Senator J.D. Vance once had coitus with the sofa. Someone at the wire service fact-checked the claim and declared in a headline on Wednesday, no, J.D. Vance did not have sex with the couch. The oddly blunt headline was screen-captured by Midas Touch co-founder Ben Messias, and others, but no longer on the AP site on Thursday morning. Now, a representative for the AP spoke to Semaphore's reporter, Max Tanney, who reports that the initial story didn't go through the wire service's standard editing process and that the organization looked into how the piece even got published. The wild assertions originally sprang from people on X, formerly Twitter, claiming that Vance, now the running mate of the Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump, wrote in his memoir, Hillbilly Elegy, that he had simulated the act with a rubber gloved sandwich between the couch cushions as a young man. You've only been a senator for 18 months. You are not qualified to be at VP. Plus, you're depravedly humped the couch and wrote about it in a book. A supporter of Vice President Kamala Harris, who is poised to become the Democratic presidential nominee, wrote on the Twitter, well, you can't trust everything you read on the Twitter, Dom. Even comedian Kathy Griffin chimed in, declaring the country should not have a couch effer as vice president. At one point, the AP appeared to have another headline, post spread baseless rumors about GOP vice presidential pick J.D. Vance having sex with the couch, but all versions of the article were scrubbed from the internet less than 24 hours after publication. And why waste all that journalistic effort? According to Mediaite, the AP did a PDF search of the book that yielded 10 mentions of couch or couches, but none of them described Vance performing the act in question. The word sofa and glove did not appear anywhere in the memoir, the AP wrote. The Cut did its own investigation and reported that the pages supposedly recounting Vance's alleged furniture tryst actually mentioned no such thing. So there, J.D. Vance did not confess in the book Hillbilly Elegy to having sex with a rubber glove in his couch. But it seems so believable, these rumors will probably spread forever. But wanted you to know the real story just so you could giggle with your friends and spread some memes.
Wouldn't that be having sex with a rubber glove and not the couch? So the couch is essentially there to hold the rubber glove?
Well, the couch is there to provide the firmness, you know. The rubber glove in and of itself, Dom, can't pull this act off. You need the firmness of the couch cushions to hold it in place. I'm just assuming like that must be that the before. Logic.
Is there something you want to talk about and confess on the radio today, Curdy?
I have never had sex with a couch. I've never written about it in my future memoir.
And I need to get back to work to the American people. I had not had sex with that couch.
It was more of a love seat. It was a sectional.
Oh, man.
844-967-2789. Inquiring minds needed to know, Dom.
No.
Did J.D. Vance have sex with the couch?
You don't. He can't prove that he didn't.
We cannot prove he did not. Mark from the SAC, welcome back. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Like you said, it was a love seat, so that's the right definition. Tough. He may have broad dodged it for all we know. But it's just sad that we were at this point now where we have to discuss this kind of thing because...
We don't have to. I chose to discuss it
this
today,
is an
Mark.
Editorial decision, Mark. I mean, we went here purposefully.
We are all about the truth, and we wanted to make sure we clarified the truth about whether or not VP candidate J.D. Vance did or did not write about having sex with a couch. Apparently, he never wrote about it.
But the AP took down their fact check, so if he didn't write about it, doesn't mean that it still didn't happen. I'm very confused, Mark. I'm not clear that we've straightened it up.
Yeah, well, given the predilections of our current president, I mean, it's not surprising he'd select somebody like J.D. Vance, who has his own odd ideas about what women should tolerate in a marriage.
Apparently, beatings and the like, you know, it's and thank you for the call, Mark. It's the broken homes, you know, those women, they just got to put up with those men, and it'd be a lot better for everybody, according to J.D. Vance.
You know what J.D. Vance's next book's going to be called? You Got a Pretty Cushion. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. I've never heard this song before, but it seems quite appropriate. At least it's not old man rock and roll. More Devil's Advocates, more old man rock and roll on the other side. I feel quite confident. Join us. 844-967-2789. Dispelling the rumors. No, J.D. Vance did not write about having sex with his couch. And oh yeah, our good friend Matt Flynn is next. The attorney, a direct talker.
The Devil's Advocates. Tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We welcome back a fine guest, a friend of ours, the very direct attorney, Matt Flynn. Matt, I always loved your show, man. I always loved your theme song as well. God's gonna cut you down. Matt, welcome back.
Hey, Matt.
Good to be back, Mike. Good to be back.
You know, you joined us at Kampali just a week ago, and last words out of your mouth was something to the effect of, "Shut up, Crudy." As I asked for candidate Joe Biden.
Your callers.
Well, you were also directing that towards me. Joe Biden did step down, man. How unexpected. I know you've been a Biden supporter since the go. So how hard was this news for you to hear?
Well, it was hard. Let me put it to you this way. And I'm a strong Biden supporter. I was back in 2020 when you were with Bernie and Tom was with Elizabeth Warren or wherever you guys were from. But here's the deal. And people have got to understand this. Joe was a superb president. He did have a bad night in that particular debate. He went up a point in the polls after the debate because of the stuff he said that was substantive. But everybody turned on him. There was a jackal pack with, you know, bloody muzzles on him. If Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, and Hillary and Schumer and the rest of them had held a press conference, said Joe's our guy, he's superb, the fall in the polls wouldn't have occurred. People are uneasy about that. Now, having said that, he's resigned. I got it. I didn't like it. I got it. And I'm for Kamala Harris right now, and she can win. She will win. The Trump campaign is falling apart. J.D. Vance, this childless cat lady stuff. If you like to take a look at that convention, the Republican convention, it was essentially a drag show for a deeply conflicted nominee. You have Hulk Hogan stripping, you have Dana White and this idiot Kid Rock, and all it is kind of over-the-top, strange, conflicted masculinity, and it's nutty, super nutty. So I think Kamala's been doing very well. She has the whole party establishment behind her, but I was sorry to see him go. I think if the party has stood behind... The reason he stepped down, it isn't because he had a campaign and be president. He can do both of those. He had a campaign, be president, and fight his own party. All of the talking airheads on cable and the New York Times and Schumer and Pelosi and the rest of them. And you can't fight three people at once. And that's what happened. But when we throw this open for you guys to respond, I got to say this. I'm strongly for Kamala. Biden endorsed her. That's good enough for me. And I think she's a breath of fresh air. And I think she is energizing the party right now.
Matt Flynn, the president gave a speech from the Oval Office last night. It was brief. I didn't learn a lot new from his speech last night, and I wasn't quite sure what the purpose was. But I will tell you, I admire the man a hell of a lot. I think this is the most unselfish decision I've ever seen in my lifetime in politics, Matt Flynn. And I have nothing but admiration, but I'm not sure what the point of the speech was last night. Matt, can you clarify for me?
Sure. When he stepped down, so to speak, he did it with a tweet, basically, is what he did. He was still had COVID. He was isolated and so on. You can't just leave it at that. When George Washington didn't run again for a third term, he could have. There was no prohibition against a third term. He could have done it. He didn't have to give up being general of the army either. What Biden did was he invoked George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the three greatest presidents in our history. And he did it in a very dignified and poignant manner. And he was totally in command. And he said, I'm still going to be president for 6 months. And here are some of the things I'm going to do. And I stand by Kamala Harris and I recommend her. And you have to have closure, Crudy. You have to have closure. You can't just have a guy send a text out or something, a tweet, and say, you know, I'm stepping down for the presidency. The subtext I just want to emphasize is he had the entire media and party establishment after him. And he had the Republicans after him. And he also had Putin, Xi, Kim Jong-un, and all these idiots after him. And what he felt was, as long as he was being attacked in his own party, that could sink him. And therefore, he stepped down. I thought it was magnificent. I thought it was not only dignified, and I think it'll be a speech for the ages. There's no video when George Washington did it. Now there's video and audio. And I think he is a premier president, a premier person. But we move on. And Kamala is energizing people, and everybody is all hyped up about her. I'm hyped up about her now. She's been endorsed by Joe, and I think she'll do a terrific job.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Our friend, attorney Matt Flynn, a very direct friend. Matt, I thought the content of the speech, and I listened to it, didn't see it. Apparently, he was, you know, he had some stiff arms and all that, but I thought the content was great. He was humble. He was appreciative. He talked about, you know, freedom and where we go from here. You know, you can have a republic if you can keep it, kind of a speech. But I want to get your sense whether or not you think the Dems have a better chance now this week than they did last week when Joe was still the candidate. I mean, we watched that debate at the Barrymore in Madison, Matt, and you know, and we got a lot of friends came out and watched it, and they were very concerned, as was I, when they saw how his debate performance. And when you have people like, you know, Congressman Mark Polkan, who's in a very safe congressional seat in the Madison area, because his phone's blowing up. Everyone was very concerned. I hear you talking about Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, but you know, there were a lot of, you know, everyday voters like me who saw that and were concerned, and many of them reached out to their congressmen and their legislators and expressed that concern. Do you recognize that there was some grassroots concern, or do you think it was still just a party leadership thing?
I think that the grassroots concerns were overstated. Certainly in the African-American community, there were not grassroots concerns. Polkan piled on early. That was wrong for him to do that. And I think if Polkan, listen, Bernie and Ocasio-Cortez stuck with Biden. Fetterman stuck with Biden. If everybody in the party, progressive and mainstream and everything else, had done what Fetterman, Bernie, Ocasio-Cortez, and those kinds of people, if that had been done by Polkan and that had been done, this concern would have dissipated. People are concerned. People don't pay a lot of attention to the issues the way we do, but they're concerned when everybody is piling on the guy and all of the cable and all this kind of thing. And that then feeds on itself and it's self-fulfilling realization. So, but we got to move on, Tom. We got to move on. And the thing is, we can't go back. That's what happened. It is what it is. Now we have Kamala Harris. I think she can win. Could she have done, more likely won than Biden if everybody had done a Fetterman and a Bernie and Ocasio-Cortez for him? I don't think so, but so what? This guy, listen, Donald Trump right now, he's a Russian agent. He would betray our country. He would screw NATO. He would steal and grab everything he can. He's already threatening Taiwan. The guy's irrational. And he has a VP who makes Sarah Palin look like Mother Teresa and Albert Einstein. I mean, this guy is out of his freaking mind. And the other thing is he's phony as a $3 bill. He's not a hillbilly. He grew up in a middle-class suburb in Ohio, just like, say, Elm Grove or Brookfield in Milwaukee area. His family had an adjusted income for present inflation of $174,000 a year, and he goes to Yale Law School. Yale Law School, by the way, that doesn't mean he's all that bright. Yale Law School takes these sob story applicants. Okay, he goes, I'm a hillbilly. My mom's a drug addict. I recognize that white men are now just a minority group that's victimized like everybody else. I'm a victim. Admit me. So they admit the guy. You've heard him speak. The guy is not, he's not good. He doesn't know anything. He wrote a book. You read Hillbilly Elegy, and it's basically kind of the holy grail of identity politics. Okay, I'm a white guy, but I'm just a victim like anybody else, so you can put me in there, and you got to fight your way up and all this. Absolute baloney. You know, 10 years from now, nobody will read the damn thing again. So Kamala Harris has the benefit of going against two. I mean, the best what I heard was it's a balanced ticket. It's a balanced ticket because J.D. Vance has no convictions and Donald Trump is 34. So this is what's going on. This is a freak show. You bring in the sword swallower or the bearded lady. And you know, that's your nominee. These people are crazy. They're absolutely crazy. Kamala will win, and she should pick, as I say, I mean, there's a lot of good people, Josh Shapiro or Mark Kelly. I mean, they're both outstanding. Be great presidents.
Matt Flynn, our fine guest. Hey, Matt, you know, for accuracy's sake, I was in the room on July 5th when Mark Pocan introduced Joe Biden in Madison. That was his first public appearance after the debate. And Mark was with him at that time. So he wasn't early to the party. If anything, I thought that Mark Pocan, 2 weeks later on the Friday when he asked Joe to step down, I thought he was a little bit late to the party relative to guys like me, Matt, at least. I do have a question from the audience. Matt from Germantown's got a question for you, Matt Flynn. Ask Matt what he thinks of all of Joe's public appearances since. I was full Biden, and he's still be a great president, but even the interview on civic media was not a great look for him. Basically, he has not been the same in any appearance. Matt, do you feel like Joe Biden has been effective? And I realize you were a Joe Biden supporter, but the Lester Holt, the Stephanopoulos, the Earl Ingram interview, so many different examples, Matt, didn't seem to satisfy anyone that he was ready to be the candidate and beat Trump.
Okay, here's my view of it. Every interview he gave since that bad debate, every one of them, people in some case, they'd say, oh, he used a teleprompter. Or so what? Everybody used a teleprompter. If he didn't use it, the Lester Holt thing, Lester Holt was insulting as hell to him. Lester Holt attacked him in a sense in a sneaky, underhanded way, the way a lot of other people, and he handled him. He handled Lester. He's all over Lester. I think he was absolutely fine. The thing, Earl Ingram is my buddy. Earl Ingram got me my start in radio, Crudy, on your show, on your station. You know that. And Earl did a hell of a job. And what Matt is referring to is that some of his staff afterwards asked if they could delete two things where he said, I think he hired more white black people than any president in history. And, you know, I talked to Earl Ingram about that afterwards. And Earl Ingram wasn't offended by that at all, and or being asked to take it off. Earl said, he said, Joe Biden has done more in terms of whether the business of hiring more than every president is ridiculous. That is just an exaggeration and misspoken. But what he said is he has done more. Black Supreme Court justice, black vice president. And you have to look at the whole context. So I leave you with this. Name me one single thing he's done or decision he's made on the economy or foreign policy that you think show that he was shaky in some respect. Not one. What he is he's a stutterer. he's an Irish guy like I am, so you tend to exaggerate. That's fine. That's a figure of speech. Deal with it. Everybody, when the rabble started to pile on him, going, oh, I got to scrutinize this. I got to scrutinize that. It's all baloney. Absolute baloney. But I will agree that when the jackal pack descends on you and starts tearing you apart, that alarms people, and then that's what threw him out. And that's fine. The guy's had a wonderful career. Now we have Kamala Harris. I like Kamala Harris. I'm for her 100%. She will beat the sword swallower and the bearded lady and all the freaks that they can throw against her.
And Matt, Joe Biden threw a hell of a curveball to the Republican Party on his way out of office, well, at least his way out of the campaign. I mean, he stuck it to Trump. Last 30 seconds, Matt.
Yes. And, you know, he never mentioned Trump by name. He never Trump by name. And he was a lot more skillful than I am in this conversation with you. And more oblique, not less direct, more oblique. Okay. And so what he did was, you know, it was great. And the thing is, you know, he would throw things in throughout the whole speech, like the Supreme Court, this and that, and standing up for democracy. And I couldn't agree more. It was a dignified speech. He had 30 wolves tearing him apart. What's he going to do?
Matt Flynn, got to cut you short, man. Got to go directly to a break. Thank you, Matt.
Our good friend. Thank you, Matt.
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the
My
class.
Sister got lucky.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Going back to the lines, 844-967-2789.
I want to thank our most recent guest, the very direct Matt Flynn. There's a lot of love for Matt Flynn on the text line. Some say he's off base still defending Joe, but come on, man. That's why I brought him on the show today. Because I knew he's the most Joe Biden endorsing guy I've ever met, probably. He never faltered from his support for Joe Biden.
Well, and I do, and I appreciate Matt's perspective in this regard. With regards to Joe Biden. But I think he dismisses the groundswell of concern that people had when they saw that debate, man. Again, when Mark Pocan, as you mentioned, he was not one of the first ones to pile on. He was one of the last ones to say something in a very, very safe seat. It doesn't matter to him one way or the other. He'll be reelected most likely, regardless of who's at the top of the Democratic ticket. But when your phone's blowing up from your constituency, you know, you have an obligation if you're a true representative of the people to kick it upstairs and at least relay the concerns that you are hearing from your constituency. And I think there was a lot of that. I don't believe for a minute that if there was not that some sort of that grassroots groundswell of concern, that Pelosi and Schumer and the others would have acted. Were they going to take it upon themselves to pull Joe Biden out? And I think the evidence is in the fact that once he decided to get out, you see the fundraising that Harris
and
has
the polls.
Had, and the polls have moved, and you know people are logging in. We talked to Angela Lang from Block yesterday. 44,000 women on a Zoom call, African American women on a Zoom call. You know, people signing up. 60% of the dollars being given on the small dollar amounts are from first time donors. That says a lot.
We've also noted, as I told the New Yorker's Emily Witt yesterday, since Joe Biden has dropped out of the race, the listenership of the greatest radio show ever has gone up 25 to 50%. And we love you for it, you great people. Tell some friends. Greatest radio show ever, I hear. 844-967-2789. It's a phone number. It's a text number. I've been checking the text line, Dom. Jim from Kenosha says, Crudy, get off my lawn. I like that old-time rock and roll.
Yeah.
What else we got here? Sherry from Horicon wants to say not just hi to us today, but also to Matt. Here's one. J.D. Vance equals Dan Quayle from Yale. And it kind of rhymes. And then a funny one. J.D. was a DEI admittance?
Nice.
In a matter of speaking...
I liked what Matt's comment about, you know, J.D. Vance has no conviction and Donald Trump has 34. So it's a balanced ticket.
And then trash texting attorney Jeff from Shorewood. FFS, Crudy. Leave Uncle Joe alone. He's out. And he said that profanely. And I would point out that Jeff from Shorewood said, you know, he would be a childless cat lady, except his landlord won't let him have cats.
Aw, really? Cats are easy, man. It's the dogs that are messy and loud.
You're, well, you have children, but you're also a cat lady, Dom. I would say.
I am now. Well, I mean, cat came with Steph, so what are you going to do?
You've been married like 20 years. How old's the cat?
20 years. Yeah, well, we're on our second cat, man.
Oh.
Yes, yeah, first one. Carly, she's no longer with us. And then we got Penny.
And then Randy loves him some Matt Flynn. Hey, Devils, as usual. Matt nailed it. Randy from Stoughton. Appreciate it, Randy. I bet you Matt does as well. I bet he's still listening, I hope. 844-967-2789. All we ask is 3 hours each and every day. L.A. Tom, how you doing, fella?
Hey, Tom.
I'm doing great, Trudy. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. I could not disagree with you more, Trudy. I think that speech last night was really a clarion call to all the people that right now we have a choice in this country. First off, it's not Joe Biden's country. It's not one person's country. It's we the people, all of us, everybody. It's our country. And we have a choice to make right now. Do we want to move towards an authoritarian dictatorship like they have in Russia and Hungary and even right now with Netanyahu? Or do we want to move towards the democracy that we've known and loved for all of these years? That's really what it comes down to.
But my interpretation of Joe Biden's speech last night does not affect the outcome of democracy. I mean, Joe Biden stepped aside, L.A. Tom. You know what I mean? Like, he is no longer the nominee. And I would prefer to keep my concentration on the youthful, energetic nominee and his rationale and reason for getting out. It's less important to me now.
Well, it wasn't, Tom, crude, it wasn't the rationale and reason. It was the spirit in which he spoke, man, about putting a country before yourself. I mean, the philosophy that he espoused, man, that's for the ages. You don't hear that from any politician. Tom, you go.
Tom, I read the tweet on Sunday. I didn't need the speech, but you go.
Well, not only that, the whole point of it is that it wasn't a political speech. I mean, I'll be honest with you. After it was done, I was a little bit sad and all of that and kind of down after we've been having such a high with Kamala and everything like that. But the thing was, it's something the American people really need to think about. What type of government is it do they want? And the thing is, he was speaking as the president of the United States. And that's one of the problems with our media right now is that I don't think they know how to cover an election that is about either losing our democracy and moving towards an authoritarian dictatorship. I think they want a both sides-ism, these things. And you know what? This is not a both sides-ism type of election. This is either we have an authoritarian dictatorship or we have a democracy.
But democracy comes with Kamala. And the speech given by Joe doesn't affect that much. Give me Kamala. He was the wrong messenger. Right message. I didn't need to hear it. I've already moved on. Because we got a happier happy hour and more of your phone calls coming next. 844-967-2789.